What Women Must Know with Sheryl Selman, Mondays at 2 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network.
Everyone, and welcome to What Women Must Know. This is Dr. Sheryl Selman. Thank you for joining us today. I'm a naturopathic doctor, an author, a writer to many health magazines in the United States, Australia, Canada, and Europe. I lecture widely and have, of course, another radio show on this very network called The Women's Healing Circle every Sunday at 4 p.m. That's a call-in show, so I am busy doing lots of things to help empower you with truthful information so you can make the most informed decisions possible. I have a few announcements to make. If you happen to be in the Phoenix area or you know someone in the Phoenix area, I'm doing a fantastic seminar this weekend, this Saturday, September 25th in Phoenix, called Turning Back the Clock, How to Get Younger, Healthier, and Thinner. So this is the latest information that I have researched and personally benefited from that I'll be sharing with people. If you would like more information, just email me at drselman, that's Dr. Selman, at What Women Must Know. Also, if you have not yet visited my website, whatwomenmustknow.com, I invite you to do so, because if you just go there and opt in, you'll be able to get many of my special reports on hormone myths and truths and the adrenals. You'll get updates of who will be speaking on this radio show and the Sunday show. You'll also get information of many of the exciting free programs I have coming up in the fall. So it's a good thing, because that just keeps you finding the leading edge information. And let's see, another announcement I'd like to put out there is that I will be starting another six-week tele-seminar series called The Ultimate Fat Loss and Resculpting Program. I've done many of these programs, and this is truly the ultimate program, using, by the way, homeopathic HCG, which I've spoken about many times on the show, I've written about. If you would like a really good in-depth article, again, it's on my website, What Women Must Know, called The Solution for the Obesity Epidemic. So this is what I would call a profound new paradigm to recreate your body, lose the toxic fat reserves, reset your hypothalamus, get toned, get healthy, get a more highly functioning metabolism. And it's all done safely, effectively, and I certainly am a living testimony to what it can do, having lost about 30 pounds in 4 dress sizes on this amazing program. So now I'm a big advocate, and not only that, if you're just 10 pounds overweight, you are at risk of a whole host of chronic illnesses. So we really need to stay on top of this. And dieting and exercising, I have to say, is not the answer for permanent fat loss. And that's why I am so committed to helping to promote the homeopathic HCG program. And anyway, if you want more information, again, just opt in on my website and just put your email and your name there, and I will get information sent to you. Or you can email me directly at drselman@whatwomenmustknow.com. So I think that does it for the moment. And we're going to talk about a subject that I actually have been really fascinated with, because it's one of those topics that has such profound ramifications when we don't understand what's really going on, and if we are following the general recommendations by the medical profession, well, we're all going to be in heaps of trouble. And I particularly was concerned because I have a family member who is in her 80s, who was just recommended, in fact, not just recommended, threatened by her doctor. If she didn't go on cholesterol medication, he would no longer see her as her medical doctor, which was not a nice thing to do because she really trusts this guy and she didn't want to lose him. So kind of a power struggle going on there, I guess. Anyway, this is a topic I've been wanting to investigate. And what are we talking about? We're talking about what's really going on with cholesterol and statin drugs. This is the show that you must listen to, and this is the show that you must be sharing with anyone and everyone in your family, circle of family, friends, colleagues who either are on statin medications or are encouraged to go on them. And so I have, I just want everyone to know this is a show you must listen to because this is going to really kind of open up the subject, open up the can of worms, you might say. And who is my guest today that's going to help really look into this world, this dark side of cholesterol and statin drugs? My guest today is Dr. Duane Graveline. He is a family doctor, an aerospace medical research scientist, United States Air Force flight surgeon, and NASA astronaut. And Dr. Graveline has wonderful credentials. I want to say that he I'll just give you a little bit more. Following graduation from the Vermont College of Medicine in 1955, he interned at the famed Walter Reed Army Hospital during the time our space pioneers were just beginning to study the medical effects of space flight. Becoming a flight surgeon and doing space medical research was almost inevitable to this young doctor with stars in his eyes, like to say. He soon came the Today Show, international recognition for his research on zero gravity deconditioning, his unique position as a medical analyst of the Soviet bioastronautics program, assignment to NASA flight controller, and finally in 1965, his selection as a NASA scientist astronaut. And Dr. Graveline still is affiliated with the space program as a consultant to the Special Cosmic Radiation Hazards Demand of Return to the Moon and onto Mars. Well, if that doesn't impress you, the next bit probably will do the trick. When Dr. Graveline lost his short-term memory 6 weeks after starting Lipitor, he immediately suspected his new medicine and discontinued the drug. When urged at his next NASA physical, he reluctantly agreed to resume the drug only to suffer a much worse memory loss a few weeks later, when for 12 hours he suddenly became a teenager with total recall for his high school days, but absolutely no awareness he was a doctor, married with children, a former NASA astronaut, and writer of many books. Appalled by the lack of information in his own medical community as to the true spectrum of side effects of the statin drugs, he began his 5-year research on the subject. His critical review of statins and book, Statin Drug Side Effects, are the result of this work. Well, I know you're all very anxious to hear what Dr. Graveline has to say because this interview today can save your life. So, Dr. Graveline, I just really want to thank you so much for being with us today.
It's my pleasure to be here.
You know, where do I begin? You know, this is what happened to you when you innocently accepted to take this medication has totally changed your life.
Well, I don't want to repeat what you've just said, but pretty much it parallels that. But you have to remember that this was in the year 1999, and at that point, we doctors were still all victims of a massive con job, and not just we doctors, everybody in the United States has been conned into believing that cholesterol is our enemy. And we have had pretty close to 40 years of brainwashing on this. So when in 1999 the flight surgeons at NASA, at Johnson Space Center, told me that it was time to go on a statin drug, and they chose Lipitor, that didn't bother me at all. I was a little apprehensive, but my cholesterol had been running 270 or 280 and had been gradually increasing the last few years. And I had no reason to challenge the statin drug use at that time. Now, we're talking only a decade ago. None of us had heard anything bad. All we'd heard about the statins was that they might cause some aches and pains, and they might cause some liver irritation. But these go away if you lower the dose or stop the medication. That's all that we were told. And with the high priority on reducing cholesterol and the relative paucity of side effects, you know, I was a real cholesterol drug pusher when I was in practice, 23 years of practice, and most of that time, I must have written 10,000 prescriptions for cholesterol-lowering drugs. And I talked at schools, and I talked at service clubs, and I talked to my patients and about the evils of milk, and that is whole milk, and eggs, and butter. And so I was just like everybody else. Every doctor in the United States was of the same feelings, the same philosophy. We were walking to a drummer, and the drummer was, cholesterol is your enemy. So they said, Lipitor 10. I was kind of looking forward to this. And 6 weeks later, I was overjoyed. My cholesterol, I just had a blood done, and my cholesterol was 150. And I really was thrilled with that. And I'm still a victim of the cholesterol lobby. And the next day, I think it was the next day, might have been 2 days later, my wife saw me aimlessly wandering about, and I was in the middle of my first episode of a condition called, a strange form of amnesia called transient global amnesia. This is an amnesia where you suddenly, within seconds, you completely lose your ability to formulate new memory. And in addition, you retrograde, sometimes decades into the past. Not every person has this whole picture, but most of them have this picture. And the period of amnesia can last usually from 2 hours to some 24 hours. So anyway, my wife had a terrible time getting me into the car because I didn't know who she was. I'd never seen that woman. And I didn't know my home. And this is because I had retrograded some 2 decades previously before I met my wife. I didn't know who that woman was. She did give me cookies and milk, tried her best to do what she could, and finally got me into the car and took me to the emergency room. And I woke up several hours later in the office of a neurologist, and he said the diagnosis is almost certainly transient global amnesia. You get an MRI tomorrow, and that'll clinch the diagnosis. And I had it the following day, and it was absolutely normal, as it is in everybody with this condition. And I was so happy to be back to normal. But on the other hand, I had 6 hours. I was in Never Never Land. I had no recall for it. I know nothing about that 6 hours. And my wife had to recount everything that had transpired. And she had to repeat my introduction to all the doctors and all the nurses who had been caring for me. and it was quite a scene. And I went home, and just as normal as could be. And when I talked to the doctor, to the neurologist, because I was absolutely perfectly functional when I woke up. It only took a minute, and I was right back to my usual cognitive self. And I said, you know, that's the only medicine I'm taking is a statin drug, Lipitor, 10 milligrams. Don't you think that might be playing a contributory role here? You know, I've been a family doctor for 23 years, and the first thing you think about in a case like this is what kinds of meds a person is on. And I thought it made a lot of sense. He looked at me like I was a little bit addled. He said, no, statins don't do that. Well, this was news to me. I hadn't had that much experience with statins, actually. But anyway, during the next year, well, first of all, I did stop the statins, even though they said it's innocent, it's nothing but a coincidence. I went ahead and stopped it that very day. I never took another statin pill. And then over the next year, while I'm waiting for my next visit to Johnson Space Center, I must have talked with 30 doctors and pharmacists and alike. And I asked them about any cognitive side effects of the statin class of drugs. And to a man, they said, no, statins don't do that. So at my next physical at Johnson Space Center, they gave me all kinds of baloney about I should not have stopped my drug and taken treatment into my own hands, and you know how that goes. And anyway, they said, your cholesterol's right back up there. They'd already done my testing. We want you to go back on Lipitor. And I said, okay. I didn't really want to, but I said, okay, but at half the previous dose. So I went home that time on 5 milligrams of Lipitor. 8 weeks went by, and I had my next transient global amnesia attack, the same sort of scenario that my wife had noticed previously. She saw me outside wandering about, clearly nothing not right. And sure enough, I didn't know her, didn't know where I was, and she hauled me off to the same emergency room. And anyway, without going any further on this, that second episode did convince me that I was right, that this was a transient global amnesia. I didn't have anything growing in my head. This was certainly due to that Lipitor. And I was going to get to the bottom of it. And but nobody heard me. Here I'm getting on my little pedestal. I'm talking, but nobody's listening. Every doctor I talked with thought that I was just a bit addled. And it went just like that for a long time. And I didn't really come back down to earth until another couple of months went by. And I was so sick of the medical community at that point because no one listened to me. And even though I'd had more experience than most of them, and certainly more training than most, they were bound and determined that I was an idiot. And here I've got myself against against about 40 or 50 doctors, and then it seemed like myself against the entire medical profession of the United States. And I decided that I would write to People's Pharmacy. The fellow who runs that is a pharmacist. His name is Joe Graydon. He's a good friend of mine, and he really helped me out. He said, Dwayne, I don't know anything about this, but I do know that there's a new statin study that's just been started at San Diego College of Medicine, and Beatrice Golem, a neurologist, is running it. And immediately I contacted her, and this was the best thing that had happened to me really in a long time, because immediately she said, you're my second case. And she had one other one that was just like me, and we're right at the beginning of her experimental program where she's just started business. And she said, I have another one just like you. The only problem is he's a bit of an alcoholic, so we weren't quite sure. Well, Then Joe Graydon, but I was so happy that I at least knew that I was on the right track. And then Joe said, Dwayne, why don't you let me write up your, send your story out for my readers? And he had some 22 million readers, and it was an immense opportunity. And I said, of course. I had written to him, so he just transferred that letter to his readers. And over the next couple of months, we got thousands of reports from people who had been having all sorts of cognitive reactions, and they didn't have the slightest idea that they were associated with the statin drugs they were taking. And in addition, we picked up some 30 more cases of transient global amnesia just within that next couple of months. So I was off and running then, and this project has kept me going for the past 10 years, defining the little-known side effects of the statin class of drugs. And I think I'll turn it back to you just for a minute to make sure I'm on course.
So, this is so scary because you identified it, but my question rhetorically is, I wonder what this explosion of dementia or conditions that are being defined as dementia, and do you know how many people are presently prescribed on are taking statin drugs? Do you have any stats on that?
About 20 million are on statins right now, or on Lipitor right now.
Right, so that's just Lipitor.
Lipitor just happens to be the one that seems to be a little bit more aggressive towards the central nervous system.
Right. So, I just wonder how many people are suffering from this condition and being defined as dementia and have no idea that it's drug-induced.
Well, it goes on. Let me just take off
again.
You interrupt me if I'm definitely
okay, because this is a big story, and I want us to cover all of it.
Okay. Well, the next part of this, since we've talked about this transient global amnesia thing, just in the last couple of years, I have assaulted FDA and their MedWatch program. MedWatch is a program that FDA has to monitor drugs closely in the first phases of their marketing, to look for oddball things so they can be reported. Well, certainly we've been sending enough cases in of transient global amnesia. I had sent in mine, and I know that we had some 30 cases with Dr. Golem, and then over the next few years, I was setting up my own repository, because people began to write to me and describe their symptoms, soon I had hundreds of cases of transient global amnesia, and every one of them I sent to FDA, to their MedWatch program. I kept assuming that any day now they're going to report this to all of the doctors as a warning. It never happened. So I had my lawyer get the raw data from their MedWatch tapes, send me a copy, and I went through them. I found 662 cases of transient global amnesia up to the end of 2006. Mm-hmm. And had I had the tapes mm-hmm. up till current, it would have been well over 1,000. Mm-hmm. And I just recently reported this to the Aerospace Medical Association meeting that was held in Phoenix, Arizona. Mm-hmm. And that went very well. We had 4,000, over 4,000 flight surgeons there, and many of them were on statins themselves. They had no idea of this, because FDA, despite having all of this evidence in their files, had never once reported it to the medical community. So you can go in the office of a doctor today, and he's still amazed to hear this. He'd never heard of this before. And in addition, transient global amnesia is the tip of the iceberg, really, mm-hmm. because many people have increased forgetfulness, confusion, disorientation, a dementia syndrome that looks for all the world like Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm.
The only difference is it goes away when you stop the drug. So those are the other, those are the comprise the mass of the iceberg. And in addition, there are cases that we will never know because they're short-termers. What about the cases of short-term transient global amnesia measured in minutes? No one can possibly detect those, even if you have a monitor that sits right next to you. He could easily miss one that would cause you to go off the road because you've never been in that car before. And these are the kinds of things I'm talking about. It's really an immense problem that FDA has completely ignored. And let me tell you now about the reasons for this. Because the statin drugs, if they told us the truth about statin drugs back in the 90s when it first came out, we could have stopped all of this in its tracks, because all we had to do was go to the biochemistry books and we could have seen for ourselves what was going to happen. When you block the mevalonate pathway, and that's what these drugs do,
mm-hmm.
They are called, the alternate name for statin drug is a reductase inhibitor. It just so happens that reductase is a vital step in the manufacture of mevalonate, and we blocked it, and in so doing block the production of cholesterol. It's a neat approach, but not if you really understand what you're doing, because the mevalonate pathway not only helps to produce cholesterol, but it also is absolutely necessary for the production of CoQ10 and for the production of dolichols and for the production of selenoproteins and normal phosphorylations and a number of other things that I'm not even going to bother to discuss. But that's what we could have learned had we bothered to open up our biochemical textbooks back then, and we would have known that all of these things were part of the mevalonate pathway. And we could have asked them, well, what about CoQ10? What about dolichols? All this stuff is going to happen. We didn't, not one of us. We had a beautiful drug. For the first time in our lives, we had a club that really worked. We were all happy. We were all idiots. We suckered in to their failure to produce a truly safe product. And I have evidence that they knew what they were doing. And we are busily working on this as part of a lawsuit that I'm involved with.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
they claim that this was as a surprise to them that all of these things were happening. Well, there was certainly no surprise that cholesterol was being lowered, because that was the intent.
Mm-hmm.
And just what, you think? Is a kind of contribution of cholesterol to these amnesia cases. It just so happens that cognition in the brain, memory in the brain, is absolutely dependent upon cholesterol. Apparently, no one in the United States knew this prior to 1999. They didn't realize what they were tampering with. They interfered with the production of cholesterol, never remembering, never even knowing how important cholesterol was to the brain structure and function. It was 2001 until a guy by the name of Frank Frieger, his name is Frieger, P-F-R-I-E-G-E-R, announced to the world he had just found the missing link in his memory quest, and it was cholesterol. This was announced in 2001. Mm-hmm. And again, I kept waiting for FDA to make this tremendous announcement, this wake-up call to all of the doctors as to what was going to happen if you use cholesterol. If you use statins. Because statins not only reduce cholesterol all over the body, They reduce cholesterol in the brain. They affect the glial cells. The glial cells manufacture this. We're so dependent on it, we have our own separate program for production of cholesterol on demand.
Mm-hmm. For the brain.
By the brain. So these respond to statin drugs just like the rest of the body does, and bang goes your memory, or your cognitive function, I should say, because there's more than memory involved, cognitive function.
Mm-hmm.
And we have known this since 2001.
So by taking a statin, and such as Lipitor, what you're doing is reducing the production of cholesterol made by the glial cells in the brain. So you're reducing the function of the brain and all the consequences like memory.
That's right. This is inevitable, and it's absolute knowledge. I mean, this is now known by the whole research community.
Mm-hmm.
Discovered
mm-hmm.
and reported in 2001 by Frank Frieger.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is responsible for all of our cognitive, but that's just one segment.
Well, Dr. Gravelin, we need to take a break. So I know everyone's, I'm sure, hanging on the edge of their seat listening to what more you have to share with us, and I'm going to encourage everyone just hang in there. We have a quick break we need to take, and then we'll be right back, and we'll listen to more of Dr. Dwayne Gravelin's just riveting story and explanation of what's happening with the dark side of cholesterol and statin drugs. So we'll be right back. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman. You're listening to What Women Must Know, and hang in there. We'll talk to you soon.
You are listening to PRN, Progressive Radio Network.
Ever wonder why some people have successful lives? Well, let's shrink about this. Hi, I'm Dr. Molly Barrow, author of Matchlines for Singles and the Malia and Teacup Self-Esteem Building Series for Children. Please join me and my guests every Tuesday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to explore psychological and practical problem solving, from personal issues to world events. You can call in to join the conversation or just enjoy listening. If you're looking for balance in your relationships, career choices, family, and your planet, please join Dr. Molly Barrow and Shrink About This Tuesday at 10 Eastern on www.progressiveradionetwork.com.
Stephen Lindman hosts the Progressive Radio News Hour Saturdays and Sundays, as well as currently on Thursdays, as an antidote to government and corporate propaganda on the most cutting-edge world and national topics. Distinguished guests are regularly featured to provide commentary and analysis impossible to the dominant media, offering biased, irresponsible misinformation and what Project Censored calls junk food news. The Progressive Radio News Hour is Thursdays from 11 to 11:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, as well as Saturdays and Sundays at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Progressive Radio Network. Make it a regular habit and stay informed.
Hi, this is Mike Fader. I'm doing a new show here on PRN every Thursday following Gary Null from 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern Time. It's called The Turning Point. What will we talk about? Well, everything from birth to death and most things in between. I'll be using stories in the news and personal observations from my own life. And from time to time, I'll be taking your calls. So please join me, Mike Fader, every Thursday from 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern Time for The Turning Point on PRN.
Everybody, this is Richard Martin of Richard Martin's Wake Up Call. I'm on ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com twice a week on Mondays and Fridays at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to guide you and hold your hand through the worst economic catastrophe of all time. I predicted this right here on PRN back in 2005, along with the housing meltdown. Listen in and hear how this calamity is about to get much worse, and hear me suggest ways in which you can sidestep a large part of the horror. Call in and have your questions answered in real time. Let's see this thing through together. ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com hosts my show Mondays and Fridays at 10 a.m. EST right here.
You are listening to PRN, Progressive Radio Network.
Everyone, welcome back to What Women Must Know. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman thanking you for tuning in to this really, really important show today. We're talking about the dark side of cholesterol and statin drugs. You're going to be hearing facts that probably will shock you, even if you think you are well informed about the risk factors from taking these statin drugs. And my guest today is Dr. Duane Graveline. He is a medical doctor. He is a research, an aerospace medical research scientist, United Air Force flight surgeon, and NASA astronaut. And he's talking about his own personal experience and research into the serious consequences and really how we have totally gotten off the rails by this prescribing of statin drugs to the mass population. So let's go back to our conversation where we were. Dr. Graveline, we were talking about what you were talking about, this condition of transient global amnesia, but you were taking us into some other areas of the side effects from the statin drugs.
Yes,
let's go there.
I'm about to leap off into the area of behavior and personality, because that's a big one according to the 10,000 reports I have from statin-damaged people, personality and behavior disorders. And it's one that it's going to take some explaining. But I thought I'd just say one other thing, a little bit off the track, but that is that we now know that cholesterol is irrelevant to cardiovascular disease and to atherosclerosis. We now know that the con job that we've had for the past 40 years was wrong, and it was fraudulent, and it was absolutely wrong and not based on any research support. And you're going to wonder about this, but while I'm talking, I just want you to remember, cholesterol is not your enemy. We now know that cholesterol has nothing to do with this. I know you're going to say, my gosh, I've been afraid of cholesterol ever since I was a little girl. It's all been baloney. No one, I hate to say this, because for an entire 15 or 20 years of my practice, I was a cholesterol fighter. Hmm. And cholesterol has got nothing to do with it. I am ashamed. But what can I do? I am angry. But anyway, back to personality and behavioral disorders. This is another result of mevalonate blockade. So if the first result was inhibition of cholesterol synthesis, the second result is inhibition of dolichol synthesis. Now, that doesn't mean much to anybody, I'm sure, in this group. And it doesn't mean much to almost all the doctors in the United States today. But it just so happens that dolichol is responsible for glycoprotein synthesis in our brains. This happens. This is a mechanism that is extremely important. It is in every cell in our body, and actually, to these cells, dolichol is just as important as having adequate CoQ10.
Mm-hmm.
And it's even as important as having adequate cholesterol when we really want to get into the full importance of cholesterol. all three of these are extraordinarily important to cell function. Every cell in our body has to have them. It just so happens that dolichols are necessary for the production of glycoproteins. Now, glycoproteins are assemblies of proteins and sugars. That's why they're called glycoproteins. Mm-hmm. And just think, every thought, every sensation, every emotion that you have ever had is based upon the makeup of these glycoproteins. You have two or three glycoproteins, then a certain kind of sugar, then another run of glycoproteins. The sugars dictate where the protein is going to fold, and they also dictate in what direction the protein is going to fold. And since the function of the protein is dependent upon structure, this is absolutely vital. So whether you're going to be in love, or whether you're going to be in incredible guilt or incredible hate or whatever, it depends on the makeup mm-hmm. of the glycoproteins, mm-hmm. all of them orchestrated by dolichols. Now, you take a statin that's going to pretty much eliminate your ability to synthesize dolichols, mm-hmm. and you can just guess what's going to happen to all of this. And this helps to explain the tremendous numbers of reactions, unusual reactions that we have been seeing related to behavior. We're seeing aggressiveness and hostility and increased sensitivity. We're seeing paranoia. We're seeing depression. We're seeing suicides. Mm-hmm. Many cases of suicides where the family will swear to a man that it happened because of that drug, because the symptoms started right after they started taking the statin drug. And but who can prove it? But we've had homicides. I've got a fellow in Australia, 76 years old, locked up because he tried to put a knife in his friend. And this is not like him. They've been good friends their entire lives, and he just did it. He didn't know why. He wasn't able to tell the coroner or the judicial department, the judge, the jury. He couldn't explain anything. I gave them everything I had so that they wouldn't put him away. I said, look, you have to understand that certain medications can affect the behavior of who's taking them. Huh. And this is one of the things you're going to see. And it was just like talking to the wind. And they put him in jail anyway. But anyway, this is the kind of thing we're dealing with. Well, aberrant personality behavior.
So it can create all sorts of emotional responses and reactions.
You name it. You've got a road rage kind of thing where you get out of your car and want to bash the guy in the car next to you or behind you. Yes, this is what it is. And we have hundreds and hundreds of reports of this. Now, some of these people have the other typical symptoms of statin drugs. But frequently, these are the only symptoms they have. And some of them will get lost. They'll take a walkabout. A person in the nursing home will take off, and you won't see them for a couple of days if you see them at all. These walkabouts are almost always associated with statin drug use. And so this has to do with dolichols, extremely important. And I've mentioned just one of the functions that take place in the endoplasmic reticulum of the cells. Mm-hmm. If I'm talking to any nurses or doctors, they know this. Mm-hmm. And then they know that this formation of proteins and sugars are then sent to the other aspects of the other areas of the cell for processing. And then they're carried down the hollow tubes of the nerves and is stored at the synaptic junctions, ready to be released at the proper time. That's how this system works. But the dolichols have many other functions, and glycoproteins have many other functions. One of them is particularly critical to statin drug use because it has to do with correction of any DNA errors that occur. And I mention this because I'm going to be winding up on mitochondrial DNA as being the end product here, as being the final endpoint of statin's effect, mitochondrial DNA. And just remember that we have a whole system of glycoproteins that exist for no other purpose than to constantly be reviewing DNA and correcting them. It's an identification. They're looking for defects, and they will correct it at the same thing. These are called the glycohydrolases, and they exist for the purpose of keeping the DNA correct as it should be. This is an ongoing thing. We have thousands of DNA errors every day that have to be corrected, and glycoproteins are vital to this correction process.
Okay,
and then besides that, there have many other functions of glycoprotein, but I'm not going to go with those. I'm going to now go to another function of the statin drug use, and that's what they really, really do, because we have memory having to do with cholesterol. We have
we were talking about the foods and how it alters our emotional state.
Mm-hmm. We have the personality thing taken care of, but the biggest crop of problems that we have, the adverse reactions that we have, are mostly muscle and mostly nerve and mostly ALS type of reactions. And these all have to do with the effect of these drugs on CoQ10. That's the ultimate effect. So that's part of your mevalonate pathway thing. CoQ10 is inhibited. Now, you can't imagine how important CoQ10 is. It's something that we manufacture, but you actually stop manufacturing it by the time you turn 45 or 50. Hmm. From that point on, you must take it in by either supplement or by diet. And unless you're really fond of beef hearts, it's really hard to take it by diet. So we're pretty much stuck with taking it by supplements. But CoQ10 plays a critical role here in the rest of the statin effect thing that I'm going to discuss. And it has to do with the role of CoQ10. CoQ10 is part of the structure of the mitochondria. So CoQ10 is not only a part of the function of the mitochondria, but it's part of the structure. Now, complexes 1 and 2 of the mitochondria actually require CoQ10 in their structure to be effective. And remember, these four complexes are what ferries its electrons along and ultimately gives it to ATP and converts it to the powerful form. So this is the energy-producing resource of our body. Every cell has hundreds or thousands of mitochondria producing energy, and ATP is their product. And CoQ10 is vital in the structure to form these, and it's vital in the function, and that it's a powerful antioxidant. But its function is made ever so much more important because it's right there in the mitochondria. Now, it is true that we have jillions of antioxidants. We have vitamin C, and we have vitamin E, And we have a number of other things, glutathione and all kinds of things that are antioxidants, but they're not right in the mitochondria as part of its structure and function.
Mm-hmm.
But CoQ10 is.
Mm-hmm.
And now let me go back to say, every meal that we eat requires it to be processed. Ultimately, it arrives at the mitochondria, and it has to create free radicals. Free radicals have to happen. They are inevitable with the body the way we're dealing today with the normal methods of metabolism. With glycolysis and oxidative phosphorylation, the end product of all of this in the mitochondria is free radicals. Now, ordinarily, CoQ10 is adequate in these mitochondria to neutralize these free radicals. But in the event that CoQ10 is not sufficient because it's been inhibited by statin drugs, mm-hmm. free radicals become excessively abundant, and we wind up with excessive free radical damage to mitochondrial DNA. Now, this is what causes all of the other damages. The damage to the muscles, we're calling it myopathy, and this is what causes the damage to the nerves, which we call peripheral neuropathy. These are both extremely important side effects of statin drugs, and the statin peripheral neuropathy is horrible. Your feet burn, your hands burn, you can't feel anything. It's an amazing thing, completely incapacitating and completely not treatable. It does not respond to any medication in today's world. And in myopathy, they always used to say it's less than 2%. Now everybody's willing to admit it's really 10%. I think it's closer to 20% of myopathy actually occurs. Athletes can't even take this stuff. They won't take it.
They know.
You just can't, because you immediately will have reactions of muscle pain. And so let's see where we are now.
And that's why it can also damage the heart. Because the heart.
Well, this is it. Yes, the heart is one of the first to go, because that's striated muscle, and you have all kinds of heart failure cases that are associated with statin drug use. And this is proven. There's all kinds of papers on it. All kinds of research has been done. You give statin drug, your heart much less efficient a pump. And more importantly, your heart is gradually accumulating mitochondrial damage. And when you have sufficient mitochondrial damage, you're going to have heart failure. Just like if you have sufficient mitochondrial damage, you're going to have rhabdomyolysis. Then you're really in trouble. People can die with that stuff, a 10% fatality rate.
Wow.
This is the ultimate in myopathy.
Right.
And neuropathy, it just goes on and on. It's like getting married. It's the rest of your life.
But the other thing...
ALS, I wanted to mention.
Yeah, that's what I want you to talk about, because this is new to me as well.
Okay, ALS is news to me too, because, and it's important to me because I got it, and I was reviewing my reports from people, and I was seeing how these reports were mentioning terrible muscle weakness and pain. They no longer could walk upstairs; they had to crawl up the banister, and off balance, and this and that. And I realized that they were all talking about me. And this has been happening to me for the last maybe 4 years. And it really got extreme 2 years ago when I was no longer able to walk. And I've been on a walker ever since. I'm doing a little bit better now, and I don't know if it's because of all the supplements I've been taking, or I think it's just that I've been lucky. But this is a very big problem with statin drug use. It's this ALS-like condition. We call it ALS-like because we're not sure it's true ALS. It just acts like ALS and looks like ALS. It was first reported by the World Health Organization. And person who runs that, the monitoring system, which is called Vigibase in Uppsala, Sweden.
Uh-huh.
Vigibase is supposed to have a function like our MedWatch, and indeed it does. And they reported back in 2007 excess ALS-like conditions associated with statin use worldwide. And we, of course, immediately gave this to FDA, and all they did was ho-hum and say, we haven't seen this in our clinical studies. And that is a lot of baloney, because they don't set up these clinical studies to see anything. It's amazing how selective they are. But anyway, I learned to disbelieve FDA. They haven't been a bit of help on anything, so why should they have helped us here?
Uh-huh.
Meanwhile, hundreds of more cases have come in, and still more are coming. And do the doctors know about this yet? No.
No.
We have hundreds and hundreds of cases where people are in a wheelchair now because they're wiped out from a peculiar kind of neuromuscular degeneration is what I call it.
And do they call it ALS or Lou Gehrig's disease? Is it actually, are these people diagnosed with it?
That's what the World Health Organization calls it. Ralph Edwards is the key guy. He runs the Vigibase. He's the World Health Organization director of Vigibase. And he reported this in Drug Safety Journal back in 2007.
And I would imagine there's a huge increase in the number of people being diagnosed with ALS then.
You would think so, because we've sent so many cases in. Everything we get, I say we, I run my own repository. One other repository is run by Beatrice Golem, and we each have about 10,000. And then we have MedWatch. Those are the three repositories in existence in the United States. So if MedWatch doesn't report anything to anybody, it's up to Beatrice and I to report, and that's exactly what we're doing.
Okay, so we're coming to the end, and a couple of things I want you to be sure to give to the listeners. Number one, your website.
My website is www.spacedoc.net.
So that's SPACE, spacedoc.net. So if people want to learn more, read more, that's the place to go. Or if they want to report some of their findings to you, can they do that there?
Everything I've done in the past 10 years is on my website.
Okay.
You couldn't read it in a month.
Okay. We have five more minutes, so here's what I want us to do. I want you to briefly say, what is the cause? What are the real issues behind the cardiovascular risk for which cholesterol medications were the prime approaches? And what are some of your recommendations of what to be taking nutritionally?
Okay. With respect to the true cause of cardiovascular for atherosclerosis, we now feel, and most of the people say feel, because it's difficult to prove, but we now feel that this is an inflammatory process. It's inflammation that starts in the intima of the blood vessels, and from that point on becomes an atherosclerotic plaque and all of the intermediate steps in between. The triggers, the true triggers for this are many. Smoking is a trigger. Trans fats are definitely a trigger. And oxycholesterol is definitely a trigger. And don't let anybody tell you yet that, oh, well, since they started putting the warnings on the labels on all of our food, I know I'm not taking any trans fats. That is a lot of baloney. I can tell you right now that I can go to my my kitchen and haul out the Oreos, and it will say no trans fats. But in reality, they contain 5 grams. The legal limit is up to 5 grams of trans fats, or is it milligrams? I don't know, one or the other. Anyway, the law is such as it can be gotten around. Because you can have up to 5 grams or milligrams of trans fats, and it will be read and signed off as zero. So if you decided you're going to have maybe 4, 5, or 6 Oreo cookies, you're getting a walloping dose of trans fats, and you thought you were getting zero. And that goes to every slice of bread and every bit of pastry you ever will eat. They're not telling you the truth. Zero means anything up to zero. Now, in addition, what do you suppose the food industry does when they need to have some eggs and milk in a product? You think they go with fresh eggs and fresh milk? No. They use dried eggs and dried milk. And what is your major source of oxycholesterol? It's the dried milk and the dried eggs, especially the dried milk. Anything dried like that, the cholesterol in it will switch immediately on exposure to air into the toxic product. Oxycholesterol is the toxic cousin of cholesterol.
And we really need to repeat that, that eggs are off the hook, aren't they? People are still terrified of eggs.
It's horrible.
Which
you
are
can
such
kill
a
yourself
food.
In the supermarket and you don't know it.
Yeah.
And in addition, there are other things. There is homocysteine is the other trigger, and there are congenital coagulation disorders that you're born with, and your congenital platelet disorders that you're born with. These are all separate triggers to trigger the inflammatory reaction that results in atherosclerosis. And cholesterol is not in this list.
Right. So really, just to kind of, unfortunately, coming to the end of this fascinating conversation, in support of our health heart, we want to work with powerful, natural, anti-inflammatory vitamins, supplements, herbs, and eat the healthy foods that have the natural antioxidants in them, the berries, the vegetables, take the types of supplements that really support an anti-inflammatory approach, because inflammation is just so chronic right now in our society.
This is right. What I've done in my website is treatment of mitochondrial mutations. Go to that website and just look at those. I've picked out about a dozen of the common supplements that I think are most important, but there are about 40 total things that are involved in mitochondrial maintenance.
Well, I hate to end this conversation, but we've come to the end of the hour. Can you believe it?
Okay.
And you have been fabulous, and I just want to thank you so much for your dedication and the important work you're doing in alerting us to the real dangers of statins, dexlagravulin. And remember, visit spacedoc.com, and you'll get more of this information.
No, spacedoc.net.
Oh, spacedoc.net. Thank you.
Yep.
Thank
good. I'm glad you did
thank
that.
You.
Everybody does it.
Good. And for all of my listeners, thank you for joining me again on What Women Must Know. We'll be back next week with more enlightening information to support you and your well-being. And remember, always honor the wisdom of your feminine self. Bye for now.